Jack, Tracy, Dr. Kelly.
Hey, good morning.
So, I said, hey, Gary, I'm going to be around now. You know, if you want somebody to fill in, I'm available. He tells me, well, what about next week? And no, wait. Yeah, it was right, because we just finished the one trip. And I no longer said that, and I got sick. So I'm going to be hacking and coughing and sneezing and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to have fun today. I just hope that Sean's fast enough to sort of tune out how loud that cough is. We'll just see what happens. But today, we're continuing on with the study. Go ahead and go to the next slide for the book. This is a book I've been walking through called Growing in Christ. It's a book on discipleship, okay? And we're going to be talking about this morning discipleship and a specific spiritual discipline on giving today as we walk through this. We're on actually chapter 10. Did you know that giving is a spiritual discipline?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a part of our discipleship. Now, the easy thing about this is, sometimes we're so caught up on trying to live Christian that we're not following the teachings of Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, now, a disciple is someone who is a follower of Jesus. Jesus is our teacher, and he teaches us how he wants us to live and what kind of behavior actually glorifies him. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
So when we talk about discipleship, yes, there's that process where we have a more mature Christian help a younger Christian learn these things. But overall, it really is a focus, a primary focus, that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, there are certain behaviors described in Scripture that I ought. I like that word ought. Okay? In Greek, it's da. How many of you are King James people? Any King James people in here? The word is behooves. You like that? Good King James. It behooves you to. And what's that mean? It means you, yeah, do it anyway. But the idea is when we come to giving, we have these kinds of ideas that come up about, oh no, another sermon on tithing. Well, actually, I'm going to do things a little bit different today. Right now, I just want to talk to you about what Jesus teaches about giving and how it affects our lives and how we can glorify him through that. And so I'm just sort of wondering again whether or not you're that person that's caught up in trying to live an image versus just simply being a follower of Christ, which means you're following after who he is, what he is, and what he means to us, rather than just trying to be a good person. So I think we need a discipleship kind of attitude. That's sort of where I'm leading up to. So as a disciple, the point is that we learn spiritual discipline. Some scripture memory, spiritual discipline. Praying in the morning, spiritual discipline. Having a quiet time. It's starting already. Being able just to meditate on the Word of God. Worship, praise, thanksgiving. All these are spiritual disciplines. In other words, ways in which I have to discipline my life to be different. I've been on a diet. Has anybody noticed? Okay, good. Well, you see, I have an on button and I have an off button. Okay? My on button's on, it means I'll eat anything that's sweet and terrible and horrible for me and it's set in front of me. I mean, I'll just do it. I'm an opportunity eater. And so what happens is, then I gain weight. And I got higher than I wanted to be, especially when you have to buy new clothes because clothes you have won't fit you. Anybody ever been in that situation? Okay, so the thing is, I am not by nature a disciplined person. Okay? I actually have to really work at it to say, no, I'm not going to do this, but I am going to start doing this. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
So a spiritual discipline is where I'm studying the scripture and the Bible tells me, Jack, you need to be doing this. And I'll show you how we can identify what those are. You need to be doing this. So, but if to do this, that means I have to stop doing this. Do you have some of those things going on in your life right now? God wants you to do this, but to do that, you actually have to stop doing this. And a lot of us struggle with that because life's changing. Because we go, but that takes work. And then you have to choose, what kind of man do I want to be before God? What kind of woman do I want to be before God? Isn't that really what this is about? We don't come to church just so that we feel happy. Okay, it's not just about encouragement. It's just not about seeing our friends. And I went to a birthday party for an 80-year-old yesterday, and 200 of his friends. Wouldn't it be nice to have 200 friends that would actually come out in the heat in Sonora to celebrate your birthday? I was wondering how much he was paying them, but I wasn't going to go there, especially since he's a relative. But yeah, anyway. So spiritual disciplines then for us are those practices found in Scripture that promote, and here's the reasoning for it, spiritual growth, all right, and empowerment by the Holy Spirit and a vital growing relationship with Jesus. We do these because God's behind it and He changes our lives. Spiritual disciplines are the process of shaping our lives to become more like Christ. It's a process of choosing, again, that type of man or woman that I want to be, and fighting against my base nature, which says, yeah, but that's work. I don't know if I want to do it. Spiritual disciplines today, yeah, the more I talk, the worse it's going to get, is about giving, the spiritual gift of, it's a gift of giving. I mean, there is a gift of giving, but we're talking about the discipline of. Now, when I first became a Christian, I was 15, didn't give. At 15, all I really cared about was the next fun thing to do. And then I started reading my Bible. And the Bible said, you're supposed to give. We'll look at some of those verses in a minute. And so I started this practicing giving. And then as I started practicing giving, I began taking it up as a discipline of giving. By the way, did you know that when you're poor, you don't have to give much? You know, you only got 10 bucks. How much can you give? You know? And so you begin growing in this. So let me give you our key verse. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It's important for us to begin our study with this verse. Each one, it says, now, who's each one? Well, you can say all, but all's pretty general. By the way, do you know if you have general goals, you get general results? Each one is who? No. Yeah, that's it. Each one is you. Each one is me. You can't say each one is them. Okay? I'm different. It doesn't apply to me. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, and these are important concepts to us, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful. All right. Now, the amazing thing about this verse is that it's incorrect. Okay? Now, that's going to make some of you really happy and some of you really, really unhappy. But anyway, the word must in this verse does not emphasize giving. It doesn't say you must give. Okay? What it emphasizes, let me give you a literal translation of the Greek. Each just as he has chosen before in his heart. In fact, if you look at the verse giving, you see where it says God loves a cheerful giver? That's the only word give in the verse. Now, the entire context of the passage is about giving. So it does mean to give. But the emphasis is not that you must give. And I want you to really get a hold of this as I talk about giving. It's because we're talking about the spiritual discipline of giving, not that you have to give. You ever been in one of those churches where they pass the basket around and they look at it, don't have enough, so they pass it again? Those churches exist. I once had somebody. This woman came up to me. This is when I was pastoring. And she said, "Hey, pastor, if I come to your church, how much do I have to give?" And I stood back a little bit. And I'm saying, "Huh?" She said, "Well, my last church, they told me I had to give this much." And I said, "Woman, I wish I could tell you. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say you have to give. Pastors say you have to give. Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that giving is a spiritual discipline, and before you choose to give, you need to decide in your heart what to give, because it represents what you believe about God. Okay? In fact, look at the qualifications as he talks about this. Where is it? There it is. Go away. When you give, first of all, you're supposed to make a decision beforehand. And this had to do, now let me give you the context of the verse. This had to do with Paul coming to visit this church. He's writing them ahead of time saying, "Hey, we're collecting an offering for the believers in Jerusalem." Now he's writing to a Gentile church. We're taking an offering to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem because there's a famine. And so I'm going to all these different churches that have been an outgrowth of the church of Jerusalem to share the good news with you. Now I want you to give back to them. So we're going to take an offering. So the whole context here, this is really what it's about. And so now, so really it's as you're giving, what you must do, and so the imperative here in the verse, if you like Greek, the imperative is to decide. How do you want to honor God? That's really what it's about. Now, so when you give, never give reluctantly. Because if you give reluctantly, you just wasted your money. Now, I can say that now. I'm not pastoring. You see that how that works. Yeah. But also not under compulsion. Don't let anybody make you give. Okay? Because if somebody made you give, you lose your spiritual blessing. Now again, so we're on spiritual kind of thinking here. We're talking about kingdom life. We're talking about how you want to be identified within the kingdom of God and within your relationship with Him and your growing maturity as a believer in Christ. Now, if none of those things are important to you, do not give. Okay? Why? Because in the New Testament, actually even in the Old Testament, giving was something you did as a form of worship. So the emphasis is on choosing and not giving. The decision is that which is the command. A follower is commanded to choose whether to give in response to the teachings of Jesus, out of the gratefulness for all that the Heavenly Father has given them. So we'll talk about that as we go on. Now, what attitudes, I've already said it, but here we are. What are the attitudes that are pleasing to God? First of all, is what? Cheerful. You're happy you're giving your money away. Yeah, you ever see the people crying? You ever see the people that open their wallet and give out a couple of bucks? Do you really want to know why churches have gone to electronic giving? Huh? Somebody said something.
She says no one carries cash.
Exactly. No one carries cash anymore. So we can't get your couple of bucks that you throw in as a guilt offering. So, yeah, you guys missed it all together. The thing is, though, yeah, move on. So what attitudes should I avoid? The attitudes to avoid are grudgingly or under compulsion. That's the next one, I think, isn't it? Did I do that already? So let's learn the way of God, shall we? Now, you all remember, I've talked about this. If I want to know the will of God, I have to know the ways of God. And to know the ways of God, I have to know the word of God. Put those three together. If you want to know the will of God, anybody can know the will of God. Okay? You want to know the will? Know how God acts. This is how God says, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I want from you. These are the behaviors that I want you to do. This is how I'm going to behave. This is how I want you to behave. I mean, it's all there. You never, ever, ever have to guess on what God wants. It's really important that you understand that. So here we are. We're understanding the way that God operates. So look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, by the way, what is sowing? Yeah, notice it's not an E, it's an O. An E is sowing. An O is broadcast sowing. Okay, the farmers walking across this field, remember this is the olden days, and so they're taking their seed and they're throwing it out like this. And he who sows sparingly, in other words, if you don't throw out much seed, you also reap sparingly. You don't get much back. Okay, any farmer in the land of Jerusalem at that time knew exactly that principle. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap what? Bountifully. So the principle for us is, now, this is how God acts. This is how God wants us to act. This is a principle of the kingdom of heaven. The more you throw out there, the more you get back. Now, be very careful about that. Because there are some people who say, well, if you give, God's going to give you 100 times more. And you got to have that accent when you say it that way. Just let you know that. And I'm going, no. As a matter of fact, I've given on a regular basis, and the next week I didn't get anything like that. Now, because it doesn't work that way. Now, I'm going to tell you the way it does work, and I'm going to talk about God's blessing and how God has blessed me more than anything I've ever given. But if you think I'm going to do this so I get this, now you see that move? I do to get. That's the problem, because that's not a spiritual discipline. That's sin. You're lusting. You're coveting. You want. So I'm thinking, if I prime that pump, you heard those words before? If I prime that pump, then God's going to open those heavenly gates and I'm going to get. And you just missed what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. By the way, you learn really good religion. But a religion is not a living relationship with Christ. Now, do you see the principle at work? I'm building on it. Here we go. Now, I want you to look at the consequences of the decisions we make, the choices that we make about how we use money, wealth, and possessions, and also influence. Look at Matthew 6. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, again, this is Jesus speaking. By the way, this is another way of God. Okay? We're going to look at how God operates. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. So, now, most of us don't have to really worry about moths or rust destroying because the things that we own are not of the kinds of things that perish really quick. They just don't last long. You know, like your bank account. All right? Maybe you're into crypto. I found out those don't last very long for some people. Anyway, go moving on. And the whole point is we have a different kind of economy, but the principle is there. But, and there's that key little word for us, lay up for yourselves treasures where? Weird. Weird. Is there a Bank of America in heaven? How about a Wells Fargo, of eternal life? Don't think so. But hear what he's saying. Is in your mindset, as you live in the kingdom of God, is your focus about acquiring, look at that, acquiring possessions, acquiring more wealth, so I can go buy this, so I can go do this, or is there a different discipline that God wants you to have? So, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy or thieves break in to steal. Here's the way of God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. how you store up things that are important to you defines the man, defines the woman you are trying to be. And does the way that you're working, does it define the lifestyle of Christ? You say, well, Jack, you know, I have a family and I have these other responsibilities. And you see what we're saying is, well, yeah, that Jesus stuff's over there and that's good, but I've got all this I've got to be concerned about. Well, no, let's go back up to the way of God, shall we? If you're concerned about this, by the way, it's not here, but Matthew 6:33, anybody got, huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. So the way of God is, if you will set your treasure heavenward, everything else balances out. But let's see what that says. Now, Luke 12, he said to them, again, Jesus speaking, take care and be on guard against all what? Covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. But Jack, you're not getting anywhere if you don't have possessions, if you don't have money, if you don't have, you know, the ability to buy and to do like everybody else. Wait a second, slow that down. Just slow those horses. I watch TV occasionally. I look at those superstars, and I watch them keep on falling. It's sort of like, you know, what the scripture says, I saw the stars falling from heaven. I think that's where they were looking at, really. All those rich and famous people, all those people that are, you know, they're the idols that we worship, because look at what they can do and what they can, you know, buy. And then all of a sudden you hear about them. Nope, there goes another one. Whoop, there goes another one. Why? Because you cannot sustain the lifestyle because the character of the person is broken. And the pursuit of all that is what broke their character. Or if you will, their broken character pursued that, and that was the end result. The way of God says, now this week, if you want to know how God's going to bless your life, you want to know how God's going to strengthen you, you want to know how God's going to make meaning out of who and what you are, you need to start listening to the way of God as we talk about this. Now, so let me ask some more ways. Acts 20. In all these things, I have shown you that by working hard, and in this way, we must do what? Yeah, there we go. Help the weak. Hope of the Park. Help the weak. Remember the words of Jesus who said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I'm going, bet me. I like Christmas. And Jesus said, no. There are things that the world does over and over and over again because it tries to help them be happy. So this getting thing, you know, does have a perk to it, but it doesn't solve the inner problems of life within. Now, back to the way of God. Remember, we're seeking to follow the kingdom of God. We're seeking a spiritual disciplines that will grow me in Christ. And here we are, we're back to that, is if you want to be happy, the word blessed means happy. Happy are those who give, more happy than those who receive, and you'll never know the truth of that until you start living the life of a giver. You got to take it up as a discipline. The life of a giver. I'm not talking about just giving in church. I'm talking about going out and touching people's lives who have nothing. I'm talking about just being able to help somebody who needs groceries, to be able to touch lives when they don't even know what you're doing. When I was pastoring once upon a time, the one time I always gave you permission to lie. Okay? And if you want to take it, I'll still give you permission to lie. Sometimes I want to go help somebody, but I'll show you the verse in a minute, but I don't want them to know that it was we who did it, my wife and I. And so I'll just come walking up to them and say, hey, somebody gave me this to give to you, so here. And I really didn't lie much because my wife generally gave it to me so I could give it to them. But the whole point is the joy of just doing. Because we can. Because we can. I know what it was. I wasn't always this charming person you have before you.
No.
But when Gene and I were in college, we our poor stories. We used to have dinner or dessert and cards or dominoes with some friends, and whose house we went to always depended upon who had enough money to put together dessert.
And coffee.
Yeah, and coffee. Got to have the coffee. So the word blessed means more receiving more happiness. Now back up. Now and so now the lying part. Matthew 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people to be seen about them. So in other words, in this whole way of giving, this spiritual discipline of giving, what it's about is I don't do it to be seen. I don't do it so other people think that I'm really neat, because I am. But I don't do it that way so I get public acclaim about who and what Jack is and what Jack does, because... Oh, did I ever tell you that Jack's also a sinner? You know? And sometimes we want to cover that up, so we want to be seen doing things, and that's what they were doing in Jesus' day, and Jesus talked about it this way. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have, now here's the way of God, no reward from your Father in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. Can you, do we really do that nowadays? Oh, they do it on sports all the time. Uh-huh. All kinds of stuff. Look what I just did! Okay. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, that means churches, and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their own reward. But when you give to the needy, now here it is. Here is the way of God. This is how God blesses. This is how God's going to grow you. This is how God's going to mature you as a believer. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried that. Okay? I got to hide my left hand so my right. That's not what it means. Okay? It's an illustration. Don't let the things that are other people that are closest to you know what it is you're doing. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it to bless the person in front of you, and you're doing it to bless God. You got any other reasons in there? Well, maybe I know if I give, maybe God will finally like me. Which is you're totally wasting your time because God already says he loves you. God already said he loves you. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you, when you give, may give in secret. And again, now, here's how God, you can always count on, this is the way God's going to respond. Always, always, always. Why? Because God's telling, he's revealing his way. And your Father who sees in secret will do what?
Reward you.
Now, there's a problem there. If I give to be rewarded, then I'm sort of missing the blessing of God's blessing. But yet, the Bible, Paul's really big on this. He's always talking about saving up those rewards. Remember that treasure in heaven. Storing ahead of you. Did you know that when you die, you take nothing with you? Okay? Men, more than anything, the kinds of things that you can take to heaven is you can take the Word of God, okay, and you can take another soul. And men, it's your job to make sure every one of your kids get into heaven. That's your job. You don't do that, you failed. Women, your job, all your kids in heaven. That's your job. There's nothing else you can get in the world more important than what you can take with you, and you only get to take those two things. Only those two things. And if you have other things in your life that are more valuable than that, you got a God problem. You really need to sit down and have a conversation with him. Because God wants to change your life around, turn around so he can bless you, so he can begin working in your life. Now, here's the thing. When we give, what happens is we get our life blessable. All right? You know what the word blessable means? Where God can do good things for you. If I'm not living a blessable kind of life, then I don't get all the blessings of God. Now, some of you remind me of that. I call you sad sacks. Okay? Now, if you're having a bad day, I mean, I grieve with you. But if you're always having a bad day, you're a sad sack. Okay? Because there is a God in heaven who's working, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to uplift you. There are believers here that want to come along and help you along. There's just some people that just want to refuse that, and man, repent, turn around, get that changed. But look at what God's doing here. Giving then is not about drawing attention to me. It's about helping others out. So what style do you think that God blesses? The one where you get the attention, or the one where no one really knows what you're doing, but you just do it anyway? Yeah. And I think we really have to be careful, not talking about you guys and what we did up here, because that's just encouraging people. But we really have to be careful when we do testimonies and we talk about things that we did to bless others. We just got to be careful about that, because you just got the only blessing you're going to get out of it. Yep. So what I want you to hear now, well, let me back up. 2 Corinthians 8. For you know, he says, Paul's writing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, in other words, he's talking about he owns everything, for your sake he became poor. He gave up everything. Now, when he gave up everything, he gave up his godness, he gave up the riches, he gave up privileges, he gave up everything that made him literally a superstar, so that he could die on a cross for you and I, and then humbled himself to the point of death, bled for us, suffered for us, took the insults of others, simply because he loves you. So though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become what? Do you hear the way of God? This is a way you can count on God. No matter where you're at, God wants to lift you up and hold you up and bless your life so you can bless others. This is the way of God. And God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already done himself. And that's what we have happening here. It's God's character of love for us that has caused him to give you and I so much. So have you figured out yet why we give? We take Sunday offerings? By the way, there's an offering right after the sermon. Just, we're going to see how well you pass the test. Pop quiz, I'm telling you ahead of time. Steady up. It's simple. It's because it's part of God's plan to help you be faithful in giving. We want you to be faithful in giving. We really want you to give because it encourages spiritual growth. I also want you to pray. Do we encourage you to pray?
Yes.
Also want you to live in the Word. Do I encourage you in the Word?
Yes.
So it's just along the same lines. It's along the same lines. Look at 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the collection of saints. Now this is Paul getting ready to come back to that church. And they're going to do just one collection, one offering. Not like churches do it every week. They for the saints in Jerusalem. So now concerning the collection for the saints, as directed the churches of Galatia, I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's all the churches in Asia Minor that are participating. You see, as he goes to each one of those churches, on the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Well, I know where we get that. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there be no collections when I come. Now, the emphasis of what he's talking about here is on organization and opportunity, not having to give. The assumption is, you love Jesus, these people have need, you're going to want to give. So in your wanting to give, this is what I want you to do. But I don't want to even be there when you make the decision on how much you're going to give. I'm just showing up, we'll do the offering, okay, and we'll go on. That's the way that it works. And the thing is, though, but doesn't that guilt thing still fall on you? Oh, no, they're having a special offering. Other people are talking about, how much are you going to give? How much are you going to give? How much? No, I can't pick on you. How much are you going to give? I mean that's, and they're talking about it. And so the natural thing, pride begins to build up. Well, I'm going to give. We'll get rid of you. Okay. And we'll take, by the way, we'll take a sinner's money. Okay? Just let you know. I mean, we're honest. And I'm going to go give it to somebody who has need. I don't care about, all right. I mean, they're important anyway. So you got that person doing that. You got that timid person. I don't know if I can do anything. Anything that I give is really not going to matter. And so all around, and the Spirit of God begins to speak. Hey, Jack, what you got? What do you think you could do? Now, understand, Jack, anything you give, not going to get God to like you better. He already loves you. Not going to make you special. Not going to draw you closer to God. It just represents how you want to bless others and love God. How much do you want to give? So I don't know. Let's see. Now, the Baptist way. Oh, no. Baptist way, you've already written the check ahead of time. Or you already put that bill in your pocket. So you're prepared for the offering so you can be seen giving. By the way, why do we use envelopes in offerings? Huh? Well, two reasons. One, so that it is private, but then if you write the big number on the top of how much is in there, you see, you got to be careful about that. But we also do it because we keep accounts of what everybody gives, so we have to give you tax records at the end of the month. That's why we use envelopes. And so we use a basket, and you know, so you can hide what you're giving and put it in the basket. Now we have a secret lockbox. He was in front of that black box back there. They put that in. So when nobody's looking, you can stick whatever in there. I mean, it's your form of worship. Have a happy. How do you want to worship God? That's what it's about. Okay? Now, absolutely, your church needs it because you don't have it. We can't play a staff. And there's a bunch of issues on that. And maybe next time we'll come back to that. We'll see. But I want you to learn a very important principle before we wrap this up. Here it is. It's never the amount given that's important. It's the amount left over. Okay? We go back to, you know, you give based upon what you have. You don't have a little. I mean, if you only have a little, then you only give a little. You got a whole lot? You buddy, pay up. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, but be a cheerful giver. All right. Luke 21, though, is so humbling. It's just so humbling. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow. She put in two small copper coins. Now, that is not a correct translation. It's called the widow's mites. So take one penny, the smallest denomination we have, and slice it into three slivers. One of those is a widow's mite. She gave less than a penny. Okay? It's the smallest Jewish coin at the time. Put in two small copper coins, and he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they are all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." What do you think impresses God more? The guys that took a chest, small chest, of gold, put it at the treasury, or this little woman who came up with rags and threw down her two small coins and walked away? And Jesus had to stop everything that he was teaching. Hey, guys, stop! Watch that. Her. Be her. Become like her. Ignore the big guy. He did that for show. But what gives meaning to anything that I give or that I do is based upon how well I have been blessed in my life, and that's what I want to show God. And I know very, very few people who have given everything for God. And what we learn is that God gives you more money. Let's turn it into a question. If God gave you more money, would you give more money or spend more money? Because, I mean, isn't that what you say when you pray? Hey, God, I need more money. I know those prayers. Come on. Why do you need more money? So I can go spend more money. Can I talk to you about how much I like boats? Did you know boats are expensive? Maintaining the dang boat is expensive. There's a saying in boat land, just throw another 1,000 at it. Literally. But again, now, let's jump back and we're talking about the ways of God. You want to know the will of God for your life. God, how do you want me to respond to this? Here it is. 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that by having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Now you got that? God can make grace. Now grace here means his favor. And abounding in all sufficiency is talking about the way he's blessing your life, monetarily, friend-wise, church-wise, spiritual gifts-wise, all that stuff. All the stuff that gives. God is able to make all, by the way, that's not some, all grace abound to you, so that by all, having all sufficiency, so that when he does this, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound to every good work. Did you know you were created to perform good works for Jesus Christ? Ephesians 2:10. That God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God gives us our wealth not so I can go buy a new car, unless I need a brand new car, or a used car. How about just a car? God, when he gives, I now have a decision to make. What am I going to do with it? So here we are. When he gives you his goal is that you may abound in every good work, you, and now dot, dot, dot means I skipped some verses, you will be enriched in every generous, in every way to be what? Generous. What's God's plan when he gives you wealth? Generous. For you to be?
Generous.
The assumption is you're going to give. I give not to get. I give because I want to honor Christ. Giving is, have you ever heard of thermostats and thermometers? Okay, so we have a thermostat back there. Actually, we have another one back here. And it registers the temperature in the room, and you set the level that you want. So if you want it hotter, you turn up the heat. If you want it colder, you turn it down. Now, so it dysregulates it. Now, the thermometer reads it. Okay, so I had a question. In your spiritual growth, are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Are you setting the temperature of your spiritual life that you want to honor God? Or are you just one of those people like a pinball, and when the pinball hits you, you fly? You're just reading the rigors of the circumstances of life. Now, by the way, God supersedes that thermostat, and that's what he's the one that's supposed to be regulating for, so we listen to it, but let's move on. You will be rich in every generous way, to be generous in every way. Come on. They will glorify God because of your, submission. Did you know that for you to give generously, you have to submit to God? Just throw that one out there. That comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And it just comes down to, wait a second. I know there are times that we pray, hey, God, you know, if I could get a raise, it would really be nice. I remember once, I was in Yuma. I used to be young in Yuma. I was under 30 once. Brown hair. Brown. And it was my wife's birthday. Now, poor stories. I went to a church and said, how much money do you need to live on to be here? Not we're going to pay you this much. How much can we get away with not paying you? I was dumb enough to answer that question. Because I needed a church to go to and work. And so Jean had to get a job for us to help make needs. And so it was her birthday. And I bought her a microwave. Set it up. Kitchen. She comes home to work. She sees the microwave. I'm smiling. And she starts crying. What did I do wrong? She just got fired. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. Oh, yeah. We've had life like that. That is not our life now. So back then, we could give this much. Now life has totally changed, and we can give this much. How much I give is based upon how God's been blessing me. And how I choose to honor God. So it doesn't matter whether or not you're wealthy, whether or not you're poor. What really matters is your attitude. How you want to bless God? How is the Holy Spirit guiding you to give? Let his blessings be on you. Take care.